As our brother stands, brother, an elder, Adam Yates, stands before us, I'd ask that you would say a prayer for him and also for yourselves, that we might receive the word of the Lord today. Brother Adam.
Good morning. Oh, that was terrible. Good morning.
Good morning.
There we go. I welcome you here this morning in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and I am happy to be here this morning. You know, so I'm sitting up here. I'm looking at things here in our church, things that I that just touch me. I was sitting here looking at these chairs that we sit up in here, and looking at the hands, the armrests on them, you know, and maybe you can see them out there, but you know, they are well worn, right where the ministers over the years put their hands to stand up. So many times that you can see that there is a huge difference in the finish from up here to where it's been used over and over again. You know, there's something to be said about that. There's something to be said about something that is usable over the years. There's something to be said about continuance of things. There's something to be said about something that can be relied upon. There's something to be said about something that we can put our trust and our heart and our effort and our family and our time into and know that it is worthwhile. I would ask that you would offer up a prayer on my behalf this morning. Man, I got all sorts of thoughts that are in my heart, things that have been coming into my mind throughout the past several weeks. And you know, I found myself this week as I'm asking, you know, Lord, what do you want for me to understand here and to share to your people? And I've really kind of run through this huge bunch of thoughts that somehow I hope can draw together. I want to start. I don't feel like I'm gonna preach long today, but if I can put forth just a few thoughts, you know, as we were in our morning meeting today, you know, we've said this before, you know, and I remember my Uncle Joel when I was called to be a minister and I was ordained, and you know, he made this statement to me. He says, you know, so little of what we do is standing behind a pulpit. The work of a minister is really in the lives of the people. And as I consider what it is that I have an opportunity to do today, simply to put a thought in your heart that you would consider, that you would go home and that you would think about. And I hope that one thing that you think about is just what I had mentioned here about these chairs. You know, and if you don't follow my line of thinking, it's simply this, you know, that they've proven themselves over the years, and it's been used over and over again. You put your hands on that spot where it's obvious that a man's hand was right here, and pushing to the outside, it is absolutely smooth. But it'll last longer than any of us will last. Consider this. I want to turn to John chapter 6, and you can pretty much keep your place in the sixth chapter of John. I'm going to come back here a couple times and not very terribly far. I'll go a couple other places, but I want to spend a few moments here tonight or today considering you know, I was in our service here on Wednesday night, Andrew Brown had stood up and he had shared a testimony. He had mentioned, as he's looking around and he sees that in a lot of our lives right now, there seems to be some challenges, some questions, some turmoils right now. There's many people who are seeking for or trying to change jobs and things like that. You know, I look around our country and I look around our world you feel like there is, like we are on the edge of something. I don't know what it is. A change, a trial, a difficulty, you know, in our church, you feel like there's those things. There's this constant battle going on. And you know, I think the temptation is oftentimes to vary to you know, we talked about it in Sunday school a little bit today, you know, to find an easy way. You know, one of the things that I take comfort in is that, you know, the Lord is constant. He is real, He is true, and He is unchanging. And I know that no matter where I am in life, I can look to that rock of Jesus Christ and of His gospel and know that it is unchanging. I want to, you know, if we look in this, if we read this chapter 6, you know, there's a lot that happens in the 6th chapter of John that is being done here. And if you look at it, you know, it starts out with Christ feeding a multitude of 5,000 with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, and everybody eats. He took up 12 baskets that were left over, this amazing, miraculous event. After that, Christ walks on water. His disciples see Him do that. And then after all these things, you know, and everywhere He went, these people followed Him. And they followed Him, and he says it in verse 26. He says, you know, you're following me, not because of all the things that you saw, but because you were filled. You know, the we brought food. You know, I created food. We were able to do that. You were filled. But He's talking to these people who had watched Him and who had been with Him and seen and heard Him and all that. And so then He goes into this dissertation. He tells them about the fact that, you know, it's not about loaves of bread that fed 5,000 or anything. What I'm trying to tell you and what I'm trying to bring you, this is the true bread of life, what will give you eternal life. And so he goes through all these things, and we read this oftentimes in sacrament services and things like that. He talks about, you know, that he is that bread that we are to partake of, the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ. So He finishes laying out all these things, and then I'm going to begin right here, and I'm going to read just verse 60 and 61. So He had finished talking about this, that you eat My flesh and drink My blood. You know, He wasn't talking literally. But all these things that He was doing, you know, He compared Himself to Moses, being greater than Moses, and all these things that the people, they were challenged by what He said. They were challenged by what He said. Verse 60, many therefore of His disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" You know, they listened to everything He said and said, this is a difficult thing. How are we supposed to understand this? How are we supposed to follow this? How are we supposed to agree with this? This is a difficult thing that You're telling us. Jesus knew in Himself that His disciples murmured at Him, and He saith unto them, "Doth this offend you?" You know, if we... If we are not willing to allow the Lord and His gospel to challenge us, then there's no reason for us to be here. If we're not willing to let the Lord and His word and His spirit as it would speak to us, if we would allow it, if we're not willing to allow Him to challenge you of where you're at or what you're doing or what you believe in life, if we're not willing to do that, then there's really no point. Because we recognize that by our nature that we are frail and that we are lacking and that we are unable to accomplish all the things that the Lord wants us to. You know, He gave us this instruction manual. He told us the way. He set the example before us. But you know, if we're not willing to allow Him to challenge us, then there's no reason to be here. You know, the word of the Lord, it's difficult sometimes. You know, in Hebrews it says it's a sharp sword, and it can cut and sunder, and it can pierce, and it cuts through all of the arguments and all of the considerations and all of the hardness and things, you know, and it pricks us to our very heart. You know, here Christ is laying out this thing to the people, this path to eternal salvation, and it was hard. And as we read down a little bit farther, we see that many of them turned around and they would not follow any longer. You know, are you willing to allow yourself to be challenged? This is one of those things, you know, we're going to read it a little bit later, but I've been mulling over this scripture in Ether, and I had sent some thoughts on it to Gordon, and he and I were going back and forth these thoughts about weakness. That we as humans are weak. And you know, the Lord is willing to make us strong if we allow Him to. But you know, in doing that, we're challenged. You know, I think Aaron was there. We had sat through, this is a couple years ago, this conference, this tactical conference that a bunch of SWAT teams had gone to. And we had a speaker there, and he was this Navy SEAL guy. He was there. And he was telling this story about his greatest fear was heights. And so what he did to overcome it was he challenged himself. You remember that story, Aaron? That he went and went to Colorado. Aaron's like, I don't know what you're talking about. He went to Colorado and he signed up to take this course, and they were climbing up this huge face of this rock, you know, and he says, I was terrified, but I was willing to challenge myself. He got to a point where he was stuck. He couldn't go any farther on his ropes and everything. He could have, but he was just terrified. And he says that his instructor, you know, unhooked from all of his stuff, climbed over to him, lit a cigarette, and told him, hey, listen, you know, you've got to only focus on your 3-foot world, what's in front of you. You can't be overwhelmed by everything else and allow everything else in the world to deter you from what your focus is. He was willing to challenge himself, and he learned a lot of lessons there. And I think about this in the gospel is that, you know, if we're willing to avail ourselves of the word of Christ, we are willing to be challenged. We are willing to be exercised. And I want us to think about that today, that God calls us to come above. He calls us to rise up. I was having a conversation a couple of weeks ago with a brother, and he says, you know, it was this man that I was working with, and we were talking about things, and he says, you know, the Lord told me, come up higher. Come up higher. It's not sufficient to be where you're at. The Lord wants us to come up higher. From where you are today, He wants you to come up higher. Keep your finger in John in the 6th chapter. I want you to just turn over to John in the 8th chapter. And I'm going to read I'm going to go 31 through 36, and then I'm going to jump down to 47. So Christ, He's talking to the Jews here, this kind of continuation of these continual challenges that they're coming and they're asking Him questions and they're looking for fault. And He's laying out the challenge to mankind in front of them. 31, then Jesus said unto the Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in My word, then you are My disciples indeed. You know, it's important that we look at the words that are said right there. He looked at those Jews who believed in Him, those who were His followers, and He was telling them, you know, these challenges, these things that come on, if we look throughout the Gospels, He spends a great amount of time preparing His people for when He's not going to be there and encouraging them. So He tells them, you know, you who believe in Me, who profess to believe in Me, if you continue in My word, then you are truly My followers. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered Him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? And Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. You know, one of these things that I've been considering and thinking about, you know, is this thought of who do we give power to? Something else we talked about in our meeting this morning. Who do we give power to? You know, we are always giving power to something. If we are not following after the words of Christ, we are giving power to Satan to work in our life. If we are willing to be exercising the Lord's word in our life, changing, examining, we are giving power to the Lord to make us free from sin, free from the challenges of life, free from the fears and the concerns that come up. You know, we were here on Wednesday night, and there were several people who shared some burdens, some concerns, some of those things. You know, the Savior is able to make us free from those things. Verse 47, he that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. You know, he's telling the people, they weren't willing to listen to him. And he says, you know what? If you're not willing to follow after these things, then you are the servant of someone else. You know, the Lord is a Lord of blessing, of love, of mercy, of peace. If we follow after him, we live in that way. I had a conversation yesterday with my brother, and we were talking about this, that, you know, it's amazing to see. I see people, and I've seen them throughout my life, who have run into various trials throughout their days. And, you know, it just seems to be that that those of us, and I say us because I feel like the Lord has blessed me in my trials, not because I'm perfect, but because I'm striving to try to do the best that I can, that he blesses us in our times of difficulty. He blesses us in our good times, and he blesses us even in our bad times. If we turn, if we falter, if we become angry and frustrated, we become a servant to sin, we become a servant to ourselves, you know, we begin to fail and struggle. So, you know, Christ is talking to his people and encouraging and directing them, you know, that you listen to my words, let them guide you in your life and help you through all of those difficult times. Be willing to be challenged by the Lord. You know, there's a scripture, I was talking to Rebecca about it, you know, as I read it the other day and I opened the concordance, opened my phone and looked at the concordance, you know, there's a scripture in the book of Joel and it talks about it, says there's multitudes in the valley of decision. And, you know, I looked at that word decision and I asked her, I said, what would you think this means? She says, well, it's making a choice, but really it's not that. You know, that word decision that we find there, it has, as you look and see where it's used talking about purified gold. It's used talking about an instrument that was used to tear away, a threshing instrument, to pull all of the good pieces of wheat from the shaft of it. What was the other one, honey? There was another one. A wall. It was a wall. Building a wall against everything else. There's multitudes. We find ourselves in this valley of decision, of testing, of trials, of difficulties. How do we accomplish all these things? Well, we let the Lord's Word and His Spirit work within us. I want to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I want to read verses 5 and 6, and then I'm going to jump over into the fourth chapter. It says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. You know, that word sufficient, as I looked it up, it's ability. Now that we're able to do anything of ourselves. You know, the only thing that we're able to do, you know, there's a place that says that if we sow of the flesh, we're going to reap of the flesh. You know, the only thing we can accomplish by putting our entire effort towards our job is that in the end, we're going to have done a good job, that one day when we lay down this life, it doesn't get to go with us. We're not sufficient to lay up any treasure beyond this life if we're not willing to put ourselves, our whole selves, before the Lord. Not that we're sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. You know, the Spirit of the Lord, it gives life. His Word, as it speaks to us, it gives life. It helps us to understand who we are, where we are, where we struggle, where we have difficulty. You know, for those of us who are baptized and we have the indwelling of the Holy Ghost, it is there within us. You know, he would speak to us if we would let him. But unfortunately, you know, we oftentimes, we want the Lord to speak to us in pleasing words. Tim mentioned it this morning in our Sunday school, you know, that's what we want. We want God to speak to us in ways that always makes us feel good, but so oftentimes when he speaks to us, it's to call us up higher, and that means we have to climb. Come up higher. Just jump over a chapter, chapter 4. I'll read verse 6 and 7. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power of God, of the power may be of God and not of us. You know, we need to be looking above. Not of our own abilities, not of our own understanding. You know, man is struggling because we allow ourselves, our country is struggling because we allow ourselves to be run on emotion. We allow ourselves to be run on what feels good at the time. You know, none of those things are the truth of the Spirit of God. I want to turn back real quick. You got your finger in John chapter 6, and I want to read verse 63. You know, Christ, the disciples had said, what you're telling us here, it's hard to understand. We can't understand it. And he asked them, does this offend you? Does this bother you? Does this cause you to stumble? He says in verse 63, it's the Spirit that quickeneth. You know, quickeneth makes alive. It's the Lord's Spirit and the things that he would speak unto us, which would make us alive, would give us life. Life everlasting, life here, good life. It's the Spirit that makes alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are Spirit and they are life. You know, I hope that each one of you, as you've taken an opportunity throughout your life to exercise your faith in doing something that you have read in the Scriptures, some direction that the Lord has given you, if it's seeking forgiveness, if it's praying in faith, whatever it is, and you've recognized that the Lord, you know, He gives life when we do those things. When we follow after Him, He gives life. He gives peace. He gives success. He gives a contentment. He gives blessing. He gives encouragement. Our flesh, we can never figure it out. We don't have the ability. I want to turn to 2 Nephi chapter 14. And I want to read verses 4 and 5. It's on page 163. Second Nephi chapter 14, verse 4. Wherefore I said unto you, feast upon the words of Christ, for the words of Christ will tell you all things what you should do. Now after I have spoken these words, if you cannot understand them, it will be because you ask not, neither do you knock. Wherefore you are not brought into the light, but you must perish in the dark. You know, I had a conversation not too long ago, and someone told me, they said, you know, as ministry, you guys just really aren't equipped to handle the struggles and the difficulties that come into the lives of the people of the church. And that's true. I'm not equipped to handle the struggles in your marriage. I'm not equipped to handle the frustrations in your job. I'm not equipped to help you through all these things. You know, the Word of Christ, though, the Word of Christ is. The Lord's Word is willing and is able to tell us the things that we should do, to give us direction and guidance. You know, I have written here that I found this to be true almost every time, that no matter what challenge or difficulty that I find, the Word of Christ is able to answer it. And almost every time, the first answer to whatever that problem is humility. It's humility. Being humble. Being humble before the Lord for Him to begin to work with us. Being humble in your interaction with others. You know, I found this in my job when I was going through all sorts of troubles and difficulties, you know, that I had to be humble. And I drew back so oftentimes. There's a verse in Proverbs that says, a soft answer turns away wrath. Not wanting to fight back, not wanting to give again. And you know, it had its effect. Verse 5 says, now after I've spoken these words, I've told you these things, that the Lord's word, that the gospel of Jesus Christ, that these things that we come here, you know, it helps you. It'll tell you the things you should do. It'll help you in your job. It'll help you in your marriage. It'll help you in your future if you're willing to avail yourself of it. If you don't understand it, it's because you're not really putting your heart to it. You're not willing to take up the challenge. Doesn't mean it's easy. It doesn't mean that it's easy to change our life. You know, I've spent most of my life trying to make some sort of changes one or another, and you know, I still struggle with anger. Never fully been able to put it behind me. I still struggle with pride. Have not yet been able to overcome that. But the Lord, as He works with me, is helping me, walking me through all these things. I want to turn to Ether in the 5th chapter. Couple verses here that I've just been chewing on for a couple of weeks now. How many weeks? When did we read this in Sunday school, Stephen? It's been a while. No, it hasn't been. Oh, it has been. Yeah, Ether. We read it somewhere recently. Maybe it was at conference. This was read. I'm going to read verse 27, 28, and then we're going to jump over to 38. So 27, this is, you know, Moroni, he's going through this writing. He's taking the time by the direction of the Lord to write all these things, to write all this learning and all of this, the prophecies and all these things. And he's concerned. He's concerned because he sees his own weakness. He sees his weakness in understanding, his weakness in abilities. So when I've said this, the Lord spake unto me, saying, fools mock, but they shall mourn. My grace is sufficient for the meek, that they shall take no advantage of your weakness. And if men come unto me, I will show unto them their weakness. I want to stop there and tell you that last phrase is really what I've been mulling over in my mind. If men come unto me, I will show unto them their weakness. I remember I was going through a class one time. I was going through a class with, as I was on the SWAT team, I was a sniper, and I was going through a class with a man who headed up for the British military. He headed up their whole sniper program. And the British have this special forces group that are their top of the top, you know, and what they like to do is they like to challenge them against other military groups. And so he had contacted them, these special forces, and said, if you'd like to have your snipers come and go against mine, you know, to kind of see if we can better themselves, we can set it up. And he said, they refused to. They refused to. He says, well, why not? Well, because you guys are probably better at that. And if my guys fail, it'll destroy them. You know, it'll make it difficult for them. You know, they weren't willing to be exercised in their weakness. And I think oftentimes that's where we find ourselves to struggle. So what's one of my weaknesses? You know, the last several months, my wife and I, you know, we were fasting and praying so much because we had a struggle in life, you know, and we're just desperate for the Lord's word. And, you know, that was one of those things that I recognized in my life as it came to that. You know, that was my weakness. I didn't want to be uncomfortable for the Lord. I didn't want to be uncomfortable not eating because I like to eat. I didn't want to be uncomfortable to have to put aside playing on my phone or watching TV. I didn't want to be uncomfortable when people ask me, hey, do you want to come have lunch with me? To say, no, you know what, I'm fasting today. I didn't want to do these things. Sometimes we find ourselves, we recognize an insufficiency, but we don't want to challenge ourselves in it. And, you know, we can never come up higher. You know, if we come to the Lord, you know, this is a promise that the Lord gives to Moroni. He says, if men come to me, I will show them their weakness. Verse 28, I give unto men weakness that they might be humble, and my grace is sufficient for all them that humble themselves before me. You know, the Lord's favor is enough if we're willing to be humble. The Lord's favor is enough if we can see where we do not have the ability and look to the Lord to help us to overcome. His favor is enough. If they humble themselves before me and have faith in me, then I will make weak things become strong unto them. And jump over to verse 38. He's speaking now to Moroni. He says, because thou hast seen thy weakness, thou shalt be made strong, even unto the sitting down in the place which I have prepared in the mansions of my Father. You know, there is this ability that the Lord has to make weak things become strong. You know, I considered this morning as I was thinking about this, you know, that there's a weakness that I have, and it's pride. The Lord can make that strong, and He changes it. And what does He change it into? Well, let's look for a second here in Alma chapter 14. What is it? You know, the Lord did this thing, and it's a concept that I find myself thinking about sometimes. You know, the Lord is able to take our weakness and turn it into a strength for Him. In this chapter 14, page 398, you know, these brothers, these men, you know, the sons of Mosiah, you know, they had been journeying and struggling to spread the gospel for all these years, and they had all these difficulties. But you know, as they come together, they begin to account to one another where they've been successful and where the Lord has done all these things. And Ammon, he's going on and on, and he's talking about all these amazing things that have happened. In verse 90, it says, it came to pass that when Ammon had said these words, his brother Aaron rebuked him, saying, Ammon, I fear that your joy doth carry thee away into boasting. You know, you're so excited about all these things that now you're boasting. Now you're showing pride. But Ammon said unto him, I do not boast in my own strength or in my own wisdom. But behold, my joy is full, and my heart is brim with joy, and I will rejoice in my God. I know that I am nothing. As to my strength, I am weak. Therefore, I do not boast of myself, but I will boast of my God. For in His strength I can do all things. Yea, behold, many mighty miracles have we wrought in this land, for which we will praise His name forever. You know, if we're willing to come unto the Lord, He can show us our weakness, and He can make those things strong. And you know, pride can turn into confidence in the Lord. Anger can turn into love. Unforgiveness can turn into humility and release. Doubt can turn into faith. If we come to the Lord and we let Him do His work in us, we're willing to let Him challenge us. Challenge those things that are within you. Well, these kids are going to be excited. I'm going to go to my last scripture. Back to John chapter 6. And I'm going to read a couple of verses here and have some comments here before I draw this message to a close. Back to John chapter 6. He spoke to them about all these things that would draw a man unto God and draw a man unto everlasting life. Verse 47 said, He that believeth on me hath everlasting life. He lays out all these things, and he finishes talking about it. Many of his disciples, they heard it. They said, it's a hard saying. Who can hear it? And Christ tells them, you know, why are you offended by this? It's the words of God that give life. And then in verse 66, it says, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. I had never heard it said like this, but you know, when I was in Africa, I was sitting there one time. We were driving, and Michael was sitting there with me, and we were talking, and he was talking about some of the struggles there, and he says, and I had to ask the brother, why are you backsliding? I never heard anybody say that before, the word backsliding, like in common conversation, and it stopped and made me think, why are you backsliding? You know, begin to take steps back when, you know, and the challenge that he was talking about, you know, the people were challenged by the Word of God and they didn't want to follow it, and so they began to backslide. They began to turn around and walk away. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. You know, who do we give power to? If we are giving power to self, to our own pride, when we feel like the Lord is asking us to do something that is difficult, forgiveness, repentance, being willing to offer up our whole self, you know, if we're not willing to do those things, we're giving power to someone else. And we are turning back. We have to be careful about that. Then Jesus said unto the 12, "Will you also go away?" Then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." You know, I found myself the other day, I was driving somewhere. I don't remember where I was driving. I remember exactly where I was at, though. And as I was driving, I was thinking about, you know, all of the options that I have in life that I could do. You know, I'm not employed right now, and it's a whole lot more difficult to be unemployed with a family of five. And I thought, you know, I could leave my family. Leave my family. Now, I'm not saying, honey, I wanted to do this. I could go somewhere. I could go to some other state. I could do something like that, you know. I could give in, and I could do things that were illegal. I could, you know, my mind started wandering all these gamuts of options and of choices that I have, you know, that the Lord is not going to take those things away from me. That He's given me this free will. I can choose to do whatever I want, to go whatever direction I want, and as long as I have breath right here, He's not going to stop me from doing it. He will allow me to do it. And I wasn't thinking those things. I think really the Lord was kind of challenging me. And asking me in myself, you know, this question, do you truly understand that if you don't have me, you have nothing? To whom shall we go? I'm saddened as I look and I see that there are those of our loved ones who have gone back and who are walking no more. And I find myself wondering, to where will we go? Where would I go? Where else would I be able to experience the blessing of God as I have? The indwelling of the Holy Ghost that directs me in my life. The blessings that I've received throughout my life. You know, I believe that there are good people throughout this world, and there are good people in all sorts of churches, and I'm not trying to make us to be superior, but you know, there are blessings and gifts that come through the true gospel of Jesus Christ that other people don't recognize or understand. How many times have you been blessed through administration, you know? That doesn't exist in most other churches. Find it in the Scriptures, but many don't follow it. You know, to where would I go if I walked away and I had a need? To whom would I go? My wife and I have been blessed abundantly in paying our tithing. Even now, we don't have a financial fear. Where would I go? So much of the gospel of Jesus Christ is challenging our humanity. Are you willing to allow yourself to be exercised by His Word? Or are you going to ignore it? It's easier. It's easier to not follow after the Word of God, but you know, we're only sowing to the flesh. I don't know that any of this has made sense to you guys today. I know that I've been considering all these things as the Lord's been continuing to work in my thoughts and my heart and calling out to me to be willing to be challenged, to be willing to be tested, to not just be willing to challenge myself when all of a sudden it comes before me, but to ask the Lord, you know, when you go home tonight, consider, are you willing to go down on your knees and to ask the Lord, will you show me where I am lacking? Where I am not doing things as you want me to. Where I'm not content with what you've given me. where I find myself turning back and walking away because I'm unwilling, are you willing to do that, to go before the Lord in that manner? I hope that you are. I hope that the Lord continues to work within your lives as He's worked in mine. I hope that you can come and you can stand and tell my children and your children and grandchildren and those who are here of how the Lord has helped you through difficult times because you are willing to put His word to use in your life. And so I hope that you consider these things this morning and that the Lord would continue to bless us as a people. Thank you.